This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hi, Jason Gibbs, Joy Production Manager. It's Radiothon time. We still need Joy and we need your support. If you appreciate our free podcast service, our voice for the LGBTI community globally, and the volunteers that make our service possible, please sign up, renew your Joy membership, or make a tax-deductible donation before June 30 to keep our service possible. You may win a prize. Head to joy.org.au and click on either the Become a Member or Donate tabs to support us. If you appreciate our podcast service, let us know in the comments section when making your donation. Joy Podcasts, where you want them, when you want them, at joy.org.au and on iTunes.
Hi guys, this is Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9. That was Jessica Mowboy. We are amazing, and it was pretty amazing. We're amazing too. We're here to put the B in the LGBTI. I'm Ruby.
I'm James.
And with a special guest tonight, please introduce yourself. Special guest.
My name's Lena. Nice to meet you.
Thanks for joining us, Lena. Lena, you are also a bisexual.
Correct.
I am allowed to say that. I did check beforehand. Always ask consent before talking about someone's sexuality. Anyway, so Lena, what has brought you on the show tonight?
James.
Good answer.
Yes, that's right. I sort of dragged her in, said, "Come on, we've got coffee and donuts in here."
No,
both of those things were a lie.
He said, "You're a big old queer like me. Come into to radio with me because we haven't done radio for like 6 years together." So I said, "Of course I will." And I've come into Joy before, and it's always a pleasant experience.
Oh, you're so sweet. Appreciate that. So, Lena, you particularly have done some interesting work, including literally written a book on an interesting internet phenomena, which is a group which has kind of morphed into the wonderful alt-right that we see today. Mm. I say wonderful with sarcasm, just to make sure everyone understands that.
Big
I don't think they're
efforts.
Wonderful. But so you've kind of, this has obviously been something that you've been looking into for a little while. Is that something that started, how did that begin?
So I'm a loudmouth on the internet, and that means that I attract a certain level of scorn from, you know, certain sections of the internet community.
You can name the sections.
And, there's so many, we'd be here all night. and I feel very strongly about women's access to space and it being fair, and that to me includes online. And I think we talk a lot about public space, and that's really important in civic spaces. But for me, the online space is sort of this uncharted territory that we're really, really having to be careful about looking after each other on. So when Gamergate did sort of blow up in 2014, I was very interested in how I could try and help. And for me, as a writer, the only way I can think of to try help is give context to things and get people to understand it in a plain spoken kind of language.
Do you reckon you could give some background for our listeners on Gamergate? Because that, of course, like, while it's quite a well-known term now for those of us who were involved in it, it was very much a niche issue.
It was small and then it was big, yeah.
But even when it was big, it was still people were looking at it being like, what the hell is happening in the gaming community?
Yeah, that's right. It had a lot of mainstream coverage eventually, but it actually started out with an ex-boyfriend reacting really, really badly to a breakup and wanting to get revenge on his ex-girlfriend by sort of activating an online mob against her by making up rumours and saying that she was trading sex for reviews of her games.
He wrote an 8,000-word essay.
He did.
And he claimed later, I didn't intend anything negative to come out of it, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, dude, it was deleted twice.
That actually didn't matter.
Admins
because
they found
chat vlogs of him talking about how to best organise his groups.
He knew that it was inflammatory. He knew that it was bad because it had, like, he'd posted it to multiple sites where it had been deleted by the admins. And he finally bought his own domain in order to post it.
Yeah. And as well as that, I think there was already a kind of an understanding that that particular area was ripe for the plucking because Anita Sarkeesian, who has a YouTube channel called Feminist Frequency, she'd done a Kickstarter to raise money for a series on feminism in video games.
Which has since come out and is an amazing series.
It is. But the reaction to that particular Kickstarter. She'd done series on a number of different areas in pop culture, but the reaction particularly to her wanting to do it in video games involved people making a video game of violently beating her and seeing bruises appear on her face. And she no longer ever advertises where she is located. People post videos if they see her in public or screens and point out where her location is. So it did seem that when this ex-boyfriend noticed this, he did jump in. And Zoe Quinn identifies as bisexual, I'm quite sure. That's something that she...
I wouldn't want to speak for that, but
Well, they actually identify as trans as well, as non-binary, but they have talked before about being bi, attracted to more than one gender. But so what particularly about this internet phenomenon do you think was important to write about, other than the fact that people who played video games felt very possessive about women being involved in them?
I just don't like being told I can't do something. It's like I'm a brat at the core of it, at the very core of it. I just don't really like it when people try and boss me around. And to me, the broader concept is this is trying to intimidate women out of these spaces. And that's just not good enough. We've been there since the start. It was only through marketing after a huge financial crash that we started marketing games to boys exclusively. And that was because in probably, I think it was 3 years' time in 1983, we lost 97% of revenue in the United States in the video game industry. So the whole industry was decimated.
They did.
Buried it in a giant pit. Pac-Man.
Yes.
And they found it like 30 years later.
That's right.
Archaeological discoveries.
You know, the industry was basically wiped out. So the marketing departments were all, of whoever was left were saying, well, what's our safest bet? And that was teenage boys. So we're dealing with the hangover of that now, that they've been told their whole lives, this is for you, this is for you, this is for you. And it's just not true. There's room for everyone.
And one of the interesting things is that in IT is a larger field, like not just games development. In the 70s and like leading into the early 80s, it was sort of considered to be a woman's field.
It was typing.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. It was data entry. It was typing. It was, you know, running the office machines, which the men at the time was like, yep, that's women's work. Mm. So many of the early pioneer programmers were women. And then all of a sudden boys went, hey, wait, this is cool. I want to play with this. Girls aren't allowed anymore, and push the girls out.
Absolutely, yeah. The marketing of the personal computer changed as well, and that sort of made it a boys' thing. Margaret Hamilton coined the term software engineer, and, you know, like a woman came up with that, and Grace Hopper came up with debugging, and that was literally crawling inside the massive room-sized computer to scrape moths out of it. Like it was literal bugs.
Is that where the phrase comes from? That's fantastic. I like that. I don't like the rest of it. That all sounds really awful. I know a little bit about that because I was in Twitter during the Gamergate era. That was not a fun time.
It's still going. It has not stopped.
Well, it hasn't. In fact, it seems to have actually morphed into what we now refer to as the alt-right, this kind of a co-option of a lot of internet jokes and in-jokes. So Pepe the Frog is now recognized as a hate symbol by the Southern Poverty Center. Mm-hmm. So that started off as a little comic that was shared around on Reddit and Tumblr and everything as a joke. I don't know if you guys want to talk to us about your experience of the internet and just how dark it can get. You can message us on 0427-569-949 or email us at onair@joy.org.au. Check us out on Twitter at Triple Bypass or on Facebook at Triple Bypass on Joy. Of course, you can also talk to us about other things as well. This is what we're talking about tonight. So, guys, I suppose I'm interested to know, so you did you feel that this attack was a systematic attack on women particularly, but as that evolved, it kind of became against anything that it stopped being about just misogyny and expanded a bit. I think that's something we can talk about coming up soon. But first, we are going to go to a quick break. We're going to be playing one of our favorites, guys. We're going to be playing Getting By on Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. So stay tuned for that. We'll be right back after these short messages.
Hey, we're the Veronicas, and you're listening to Joy 94.9.
That's right. This is Joy 94.9, and you're listening to Triple Bypass. Here to put the B in LGBTI. That was Getting By from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, a pretty sweet series. I'm Ruby.
I'm James.
I'm Lena.
That's right. Lena is joining us tonight as we talk about the fascinating cultures that have been growing I talk about cultures like they are growing on a cheese. They have been growing on the internet, not on cheeses, and it is less delicious and less nutritious.
Lena had the goal to be a woman on the internet with opinions and therefore was the target
of a lot of horrible stuff. Also super bisexual, which we're all about here, which is why she's allowed on the show.
I didn't disintegrate on the entryway, so I must be allowed in.
It's true. We have
legit.
We have a special particle wave there just to make sure everyone who comes in is for reals. Obviously not. We don't gatekeep. That's not our thing. You can join the conversation on 0427 569 949. You can email us at onair@joy.org.au. And if you're liking what you're hearing, there's so much more. Just check out our podcast, which is available on iTunes if you check out Joy 94.9 and search for Triple Bypass. So, Lena, we were talking previously about Gamergate, which took off, was it 2014?
Yeah.
Particularly against one guy's very bitter reaction to his ex-girlfriend. And I think what he basically said was that a game she'd made called Depression Quest. I had only gotten good reviews because she slept with a bunch of journalists. And this was somehow became a big enough issue that literally thousands of men on Twitter took it upon themselves to spread her personal information and to systematically go after a number of women involved in games and suggest that all of them had any acclaim or attention they had received was due to the fact they'd had sex. And the catchphrase, which actually became a bit of a joke, was that it's about ethics in game journalism.
Yeah, that's right.
Which was actually an interesting topic in itself because they were discussing, of course, the fact there were some interesting points like that, you know, sponsorship was earning some games particular amounts of reviews versus others.
But the funny thing was
nothing
that
to do with who they were sleeping with.
And there were issues around ethics, and they were the things that these people ignored, basically.
Yeah, they still went to E3 and clapped, which as journalists I find really irritating. You shouldn't be doing that. You should sit down and be critical at those sorts of things if you're a journalist. But hey, that's old school, right?
Yeah, but that wasn't done by women and trans people.
Exactly.
And same-sex attracted people. What?
Dudes can do what they want.
And
yeah.
It's interesting because I think at the time, it did seem intense, but I feel like that kind of discourse, as it happened, is now kind of the norm for the internet, particularly around issues to do with queer people and with women and with people of colour. And so there's been arguments, and I'd love to know your thoughts on this, that Gamergate particularly and the way that it kind of drew all these men who talked about gaming being their only real thing that they had going for them in their lives and how women were taking it from them became kind of an inlet for radicalization, basically. So misogyny ended up moved towards anti-Semitism, which moved towards racism, which moved towards white supremacy.
Yep.
And that's kind of become what we saw a lot of that happened. If any of our listeners have been around on Twitter, particularly during the presidential election in the United States, that was what was happening in Gamergate.
Yep. My co-author who wrote the book with me, Dan Golding. Game Changers.
Game Changers.
Game Changers. From Minecraft to Misogyny, the Fight for the Future of Video Games. It's a bit of a mouthful, but
catchy.
Yeah. It just rolls off the tongue after a couple of interviews. But yeah, he put it really well when he said that Gamergate was the canary in the coal mine for sort of the culture wars in America in particular. But it is globally, of course, because we're all online in this sort of, you know, similar cesspool in some ways. And I think that it really did show us that people can rally, you know, based on hate really quickly on the internet and use it for really vile purposes.
What do you think of the idea that so much of the hatred and abuse that happens, that misogyny is sort of a linchpin for a lot of it? Like, you know, a lot of homophobia, you know, comes from misogyny and the fear of anything which is perceived as feminine. And, you know, transphobia is a lot of the same thing. So what do you think of the idea that sort of misogyny is sort of at the centre of it?
I think so. I think there's plenty of axes of oppression and that each of them rile different kinds of people up in different ways and, you know, get under their skin in different ways. Some things are particularly repulsive to them. But I do think misogyny is probably right there in the middle as one of the ones that a lot of them intersect with in some way.
Why
is just
that
hatred for women. Like James said, there's a lot of, you know, a lot of the reason why gay men are made fun of by a lot of people is because they're acting like a girl, or they're doing feminine things, and that's somehow seen as bad.
Yeah, or, because anything that a woman does or that is associated with women is naturally bad. So if somebody puts their dick in you, you are behaving like a woman, and therefore you are behaving badly.
But it's, I think it's just also mannerisms, because a lot of bisexual men are coded as gay. Because their mannerisms are seen as effeminate. So, James, this is definitely more of your expertise than I am, being a bisexual man. Well, I am not a bisexual man. So I know Anthony spoke about this before, about being mistaken for gay quite frequently because of mannerisms. How is that really tied into how people have perceived you? Do you think it's because people have perceived parts of you as effeminate, or?
I don't think so. I've really only received any kind of abuse about my sexuality while online, and that's because of people abusing me because of things that I've said about myself. As for me, you know, in the real world, in meat space, I am incredibly privileged. I have so much privilege. I mean, I'm an obviously, you know, straight passing cis white man who speaks English in an English speaking country and all these things. You know, I'm just dripping with privilege, and that's why I'm always really, really cautious when I come into these spaces. And you'll notice I probably won't say a lot tonight, because I'm just like, hey, there are two women talking about misogyny.
I'm going to
butt out as much as possible.
Women talking about misogyny.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to say that. Mm. I suppose my involvement in Gamergate, I hadn't really been on Twitter before, and one of the things I was kind of surprised about. And just heads up, guys, you know, this is the internet, as I'm sure a lot of us who have been deeply involved in it, can be a pretty hurtful place. Mm. So just if any of what we're discussing is hurtful to you, take care of yourselves. Mm-hmm. But I was surprised by how quickly me joining any kind of conversation about video games, a subject that I was very passionate about, became about a rape threat. Mm. So I could watch two people who coded as male through their avatars and through their Twitter names discussing something or arguing. Mm. And if I joined the argument with my photograph of my face and my long hair at the time, it would switch very, very quickly. And often to the horror of the person who was arguing, you know, with this person saying, well, women can play video games, that's cool, that's okay. Or having women in video games is not the end of the world, and it's not social justice warrior stuff. It's just literally opening up the avenues and considering it as a real art form involves critiquing it as an art form, which involves from any aspect, as film does, as television does, would suddenly become a, I'm going to come to your house at night.
Yeah, and look, it didn't come out of nowhere. Like, we have to admit that and say, like, it wasn't this guy twirling his mustache and being an absolute jerk that started, like, that poisoned a whole nation or whatever. This came out
Trump
of...
Trump hasn't got a mustache.
This came out of, you know, a long, long history of misogyny and a long, long history of entitlement. And I think, like, the most brutal of the attacks I've had online were way before Gamergate. They were years before, because it was still toxic then and it's still toxic now, and it's going to be, you know, hopefully not as toxic in the future if we all work really hard. But I said something like, there's no women presenting at this Sony press conference at E3. And that was, burn the witch, right? Like, how dare she say that? And it wasn't even like, that's not good enough. You guys, like, I wasn't on my huffy bike. I just like pointed it out. And it went viral, and
not in a good way. In the bubonic plague kind of way.
Like all viruses, it has nasty symptoms, and and can be hard to shake. And that was, gosh, that would have been 5 years ago, and I still get abusive replies to it sometimes.
Were you out at the time?
No, I wasn't. No.
Has coming out changed the reactions you get from people at all?
Oh, this is actually really nice. It has. It's changed the posse behind me who stand up and go, you know, nah, back off, you know, which is actually really sweet.
Yeah. You're in the queer club now.
Yeah, I know. I've got a whole nother posse behind me. But, yeah, that does help to sort of know that, you know, someone waves a little rainbow flag when someone's in trouble, and, you know, we all sort of
and
run to
them. And the army gathers.
Yeah, that's right.
We are legion.
A rainbow in the sky. Someone's sending up
someone's
the queer signal.
A bi is in trouble, ladies. Yep. Activate.
So, yeah, it has, you know, I got called, you know, the F-A-G-G word. I don't want to say it on the radio because it's very hurtful.
It is.
I got called that, which was really surprising because I'm not a guy, and traditionally I associate that as being something that's thrown at men.
I have heard that was actually a word I did a documentary on misogyny in the video game community before Gamergate, and I asked for video submissions, and they were all women who submitted videos. And one was saying, she was just like, I would join an Xbox Live game and I'd get called the F-A-G-G-O-T word.
Yeah.
And just constantly to the point where she would only play with her friends.
Yep.
But firstly, it is so nice to hear that since you have come out as bisexual, that has meant people who do identify quickly can be like, well, you're attacking one of ours and that's not okay.
Yeah.
We're very well organized. We've been doing this for a long time. Don't even try us.
Yeah, yeah. Get away from her.
I'm not talking about...
Where are we aiming the first brick?
Well, look, by trans women of color who threw the first brick at Stonewall. We've been there for a long time, guys, and we'll be here for a long time to come, actually about 30 minutes. We'll be right back after this break and another song, guys, so stay tuned. This is Triple Bypass. Being bisexual as all hell, right here after these short messages. You're on Joy.
You need surgery.
Bisexuality.
Bisexual.
I'm bisexual.
Bisexual.
Triple bypass.
Bisexual.
Bisexual.
Bisexuality.
I'm bisexual.
Bisexuality.
The best of both worlds.
Triple bypass.
Triple bypass.
Triple bypass on Joy 94.9.
Bit of a tone change. That was Rebel Girl by Bikini Kill. And
yeah.
A lovely intro.
I love in that intro that it took me ages to notice, like, is that Lisa Simpson?
Well, you know, I think she's actually a polyamorous bisexual if you look at when they do an episode of The Simpsons where they flash through to her future. Anyway, this is Triple Bypass. I'm Ruby.
I'm James.
I'm Lena.
Lena is joining us tonight as we discuss misogyny on the internet. And actually, just before that wonderful song Rebel Girl, we were discussing how particularly Gamergate and even before that there was just this kind of rampant attacking of women on internet spaces, but how Gamergate kind of showed a kind of mass organisation on a scale that hadn't really been seen before. But I'm glad to hear that since Lena did come out as bisexual, she's had a bit more of a posse in her quarter. Very quick, I think we're talking about putting up the bat signal, only because it wasn't a bat, it was a bi signal. Being like, help, a queer is in trouble. Bis assemble.
Yep.
And during the break, we actually got a message. So the message, you guys can message us too on 0427-569-949 or email us at onair@joy.org.au or tweet us at Triple Bypass or message us on Facebook at Triple Bypass on Joy. Anyway, this message said, is there no place in the world that misogynists don't impose themselves? Disheartened cis male bisexual. There are spaces. We just don't share them.
Yeah. Secret. Well.
Obviously, no. I would say personally, there are definitely places, but they tend to be places that have been hollowed out and found and secured. Mm. And it is disheartening, cis male bisexual. But one of the things that you can do is, as a cis male, you are listened to by other cis males a lot more than us cis females and trans men are and non-binary people are. So if you do see this kind of thing, you can definitely say something about it. And it does happen.
And I sort of think of it as, you know, listening to women is like the bronze star. And then you get the silver star when you go to other cis male spaces and say, hey, this is what women have been telling me. This is serious. We should talk about this. The gold star is when you say, hey, here is a woman. You should listen to what she says.
Yes. The gold star is shutting up, I think, and pointing to women and saying, listen to her.
Not many guys have the gold star.
No.
I'm just gonna say that.
Not enough.
But that being said, it is really disheartening. But I suppose what's really disheartening for me is the internet has in a lot of ways been revolutionary for queer people.
Mm.
In being able to help us find ourselves, find resources, find hilarious comics about what it's like to have our lived experiences. Because there are some very, very funny queer artists out there.
Mm.
And this is the thing. Like, I've been, you know, running a bisexual support and, you know, discussion group for 12 years almost. And that wouldn't have been possible without the internet. You know, it's a real world space, but it's organized through the internet.
Yeah, well, I think it makes things easier to find yourself or find answers to questions, saying, like, you know, Google, how do I know if I'm bisexual? Save me, Google.
Yeah, especially please. For regional kids and, you know, people who might not have it modeled for them in person, it's really important. And that's what I think stings the most about the internet sort of going sour in a lot of ways, is you're like, this was my place, this was my thing. And I was on the internet, you know, back when it made awful noises, you know.
Ding!
You know,
parents like, the phone line's down again.
Yeah, I'm like,
stop
yeah.
playing Neopets.
So get another one. Like, was my answer. I'm on the internet. So, you know, it was, I carved it out really early as a space I wanted to occupy, and I made a lot of good friends, and, you know, it was really important to me. So it sort of, it really hurt on a different level as well to have it sort of all turn nasty, like when the normies came in, is what I consider it to be. Like, you know, they came in and just kind of got this stink all over everything. And then it became just like outside where we get catcalled and we get, you know, it just became sort of the same thing. It wasn't like this cool club of internet nerds.
And it does feel like the internet's kind of sectioned itself off now. So you have like a number of major mainstream discourse platforms. 4chan is now mainstream. I think we can say that now. So 4chan is a platform that was bought by a guy called Moot who wanted to talk about anime. And so he just bought this with his mum's credit card.
For a moment, I thought you said Fortran. And this is a very nerdy thing, but that's a very old programming language. And I was like, Fortran is what?
Ruby was showing her cred for a little while there, yeah.
I thought I was. Ruby on Rails. Anyway. Yeah, that's right. Cool nerd reference.
Yeah, I got it.
Thank you. So there's 4chan. I think 4chan was one of the beginning places for, I suppose that's where groups like Anonymous, which is an online activism community, did kind of grow. They particularly started to be activists against Scientology, which was their first big public spectacle. But after that, we had groups like Reddit and Tumblr, which are the two main ones now. And Reddit, particularly over the last year, particularly during the United States election, swung to the right. Because people who knew how particular algorithms on the site worked and how to get things pushed to the front of the page used that system to make sure the things that got in the front of the page were to do with pro-Trump articles. And then you had Tumblr. And Tumblr has become quite renowned for discourse of the other in the other direction. So to the point where it gets so far left that people are actually, you know, picking at things.
One day in the, like, 2040s or 2050s, they'll be saying, Granddad, where were you during the Reddit Tumblr wars? Well, son, I was blogging.
Well, son, my URL was this and my best post was this and I fought till the last breath. But so Tumblr's become a place where there's been a lot of discourse about queer culture, about the experiences of people of colour, about news and politics. And this happens on Reddit as well, but particularly over the last, and it has been the last, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, it does sound like you've done a lot more academia on this. I've just lived it. Just lived it, whatever. Anyway, but the last 2 years, particularly when it did become a mainstream political phenomenon, we did see a major shift in a lot of the discourse happening, because a lot of discourse that had previously been considered unacceptable became very mainstream. So the discourse we were seeing around Gamergate, grab it by the pussy, was suddenly something that could be said by the leader of the free world.
And all of a sudden, the guy who looks like he might actually get elected president shows that mocking a disabled person in public in front of thousands of people is like a funny, cool
asking
thing to
asking a
do.
Black reporter if she knows the Black caucus.
Yeah. It's none and of those have been deal breakers. Asking her.
Yeah, none of those are deal breakers. So did that kind of reset what was normal to discuss on the internet?
Yes and no. I think it's a huge, huge question, but I do think it definitely had an impact, like Twitter and Facebook and everyone sort of having their little silos where they occupy and they don't really interact with other points of view very much, which can some... I don't judge people for doing that. It can be a safety thing. Like, and if you're doing that for your safety, then you are absolutely within your rights to do that. If you want to be challenged and you want to, you know, apply some rigor to your views or whatever, go for it if you've got the energy and you're safe. But, you know, it can end up with us in an echo chamber, and those words have been poisoned now by people who use them against us. But it can actually mean that we can't speak to each other anymore. And when we do cross paths, there's so much anger and disgust and, you know, freak outs that it just becomes this war of words, really ugly words with each other. And I think it's definitely impacted it. I don't know if it's entirely responsible for it, but it definitely has normalized it for a lot of people. So just like we talk about representation in media with, you know, seeing women directors and seeing all the, you know, if you can't see it, you can't be it, those sorts of sentiments. If you see a guy saying awful things on Twitter and getting away with it, not getting banned, and just his whole timeline is just abusing women, and you're a 14-year-old boy trying to learn how Twitter works, you're probably going to go, okay, cool, I can do that here. And so, you know, it does have
Or if you see Clementine impact. Ford getting banned for reblogging something someone said to her.
Yeah, for sharing the abusive messages she was getting. So, yeah, because not only are we to suffer our abuse, but we must keep it private. We must protect the abusers.
And it's interesting as well, because I sort of see Reddit as almost like a microcosm of the whole system, because there are some incredible pockets of people on Reddit. You know, there's some amazingly good stuff happening on Reddit.
Great buy group. By the way, they have some great suggestions for buy anthems. Get them by from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend was number one.
And it's the same sort of thing. Like, I honestly think that even like at an administrative level on Reddit, I suspect there are people who really do want to fix it and are trying. And it's just there's just such an incredible force of negativity and hatred to push against.
And there's, of course, that brings the whole argument we're seeing even in Australian politics with the freedom of speech. You know, are people allowed to get up there and just say what they say? And I think as far as the queer movement and what the internet has allowed us to do, it's interesting to see, because at the same time as we're seeing more and more platforms speak out, you know, so Pink News, Queer Voices on the Huffington Post, Gay News Network in Australia, we're having our own platforms in ways we might not have been able to support if they'd been paper platforms. So it's like that kind of interesting dichotomy where it's like, well, we get to say what we want, but then we've got to hear everyone tell us how much they want to kill us. I mean, that just seems a bit unfair.
It is unfair, but...
But life is unfair. But life isn't unfair when you're listening to a bypass here on Joy 94.9. Don't worry, guys. I know it's a bit unfair. We're going to go to a break, but it is fair because we'll be right back very soon. So please stay tuned. Don't laugh at me, James. This is Triple Bypass on Joy.
Hi, this is Rob Mills, and you're listening to Australia's LGBTI radio station, Joy 94.9.
Thanks, Rob. Thanks, Sia, our favourite bisexual Australian musical artist. This is Triple Bypass, and I'm Ruby.
And I'm James.
I'm Lena.
Lena is our guest tonight. We've been discussing the experience for women and minority groups on the internet and what has
trans
been changing.
Folks, queer folks.
And yeah, everyone who is easy to gang up on, because the internet's very good at that.
It is very good.
So we've been
at
discussing
that.
How that particularly has become quite mainstream over the last year or so, but how for women particularly it has been a bit of an issue for a long time, an issue that seems to have not really been taken into consideration by a lot of the major social media platforms. I think it's become a bit of a joke now how Twitter and Facebook respond to women being harassed on their platforms.
They do get upset about really important things, though, like when a new
historical
video,
photographs and from wars,
or when a new video game gets announced where you shoot Nazis. I mean, they have to get upset about that happening.
Let's talk about that, shall we? We have been talking about video games because Lena has written the book on Gamergate, very interesting period of time where a large number of men became, I would argue, radicalized through Twitter to attack women who worked in video games on this idea that women were actually creating this kind of secret underground power structure that was pushing their games to the front. I know it sounds absurd. But this is what women were being accused of, and this
when
is how
you
they were.
Say it like that; it sounds silly.
But this is how they were justifying the public spreading of these women's personal information and personal attacks directed towards them.
But Ruby, what you're forgetting is that girls are icky,
so icky,
especially when they don't kiss me. That makes me really angry, and I don't know what to do.
See, but I actually feel that way. I just don't go on the internet and talk about it. I just handle that like an adult.
And what do you do if one of these women on the internet is attractive and you like her, but you don't agree with her politics?
Should I send her pictures of my penis? No? I'm getting some responses telling me that's not what I should
probably
do.
Probably not.
Man,
no.
I just don't understand how women think these days.
See, and even that has, you know...
I'm being very sarcastic. I promise I do not send pictures of my genitalia to anyone unless they ask first.
You know, it all comes down to patriarchal, you know, constructs with that. Like the fact that so many men struggle with talking about their feelings is, you know, the work of the patriarchy.
Emotions are for ladies.
Yeah, and they can't...
As is crying and the colour pink, because Hitler said so when he made gay men wear the pink triangle, because before that pink was for men and boys.
Yes, it was in the 50s, that's right.
So you guys, when you say pink is girly, you're literally following Adolf Hitler.
Well, some of them literally do, so, you know.
Yeah.
Well, that's actually a thing. So I tangented, as our listeners will know I am able to do at any possible moment. We were discussing very briefly how... So, James, you were talking about the reaction towards a particular game that was announced at the big conference about video games called E3. Mm-hmm. And that particular game is about hunting and killing Nazis. Now, for a long time, it's just been kind of assumed that Nazis are the bad guys.
Yes. I actually interviewed, when the previous game in the series came out, I was working as a video games journalist.
When did that game come out, James?
Oh, this is like 3 or 4 years ago. And I was at E3 and I was talking to the writer on the game. And I asked him a question saying, so is it nice just to know that there's always Nazis? Like, you can, like, there's all this problematic stuff around violence in video games and all that sort of thing. Isn't it nice to know that you can always make a game about shooting Nazis and no one will ever get upset about that?
Yeah, about that. Until we got one in the White House, that was fine. But yeah, it's definitely, it used to be zombies. You know, that was the one we could get away with sort of hurting, and Nazis we can get away with hurting.
And robots,
yeah. But obviously you're not going to be kicking puppies and, you know, we don't like it when you're hurting actual people. But, you know.
Some people did. There were some interesting games that were put out. But Wolfenstein 2 is a game where you get to attack Nazis. And we live in an age, and I feel it is important to recognise, dear listeners, that we now live in an age where when someone announces a game that says we're going to kill Nazis, a large number of people, and I will say this based on what I could see, a large number of these people were men. Mm-hmm. We're saying, I feel personally victimised.
Because the trailer had
this
like
is liberal
black
rubbish.
People and black women.
This is social justice warrior and garbage, and they have infiltrated and ruined video games, and that's why they're attacking Nazis.
And hooded Ku Klux Klanners hanging out, being pally with Nazis. It's like, oh!
And they were all being attacked, and it's not okay to attack Nazis. Apparently.
Says them.
But says them, because this was not said a few years ago.
No.
And I suppose this. We do try and keep things a little lighthearted. We talk quite frequently about, look, we're bisexuals. We've got worse mental health than gay and lesbian people. We're not always cheery.
It's going to get dark sometimes.
It's going to get dark sometimes.
Yeah. Got to exercise those demons.
Yeah, if you want to help us exercise our demons, you can, in the next 6 minutes, message us on 0427 569 949, or email us onair at joy.org.au, or you can hear previous exorcisms if you check out our podcast, which are available on iTunes under Joy 94.9 Triple Bypass. But the internet has moved into an interesting direction, particularly with polarization of opinions. And I think you were talking before, Lena. That was your opinion. I'm not going to try and claim that. That was you. You were pointing out that we live in...
I wasn't the first one, don't worry. It's no, fine.
You were in this studio, and that's what counts. But you were saying that there's just been this kind of push where people mostly hear echoes of their own opinions now, so that you can choose spaces where you never hear any opinion that challenges you.
Mm.
And so that means it's
I should point out, that can be a really positive thing.
Yeah,
it should
I mean,
be.
Because when,
people,
when
yeah.
mainstream society is saying, no, mm. being attracted to somebody of the same gender as you is terrible.
Absolutely.
Then
being attracted to more than one gender is terrible.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. You know, being bisexual is terrible. Being, you know, feeling that you are of a different gender to the one you were assigned at birth is terrible. You know, hanging out in a group where all you hear is, nope, that's cool, you're good. You know, that's a very healthy thing and something that's completely
Absolutely.
Understandable.
And it's your digital lounge room, like your Facebook wall, really. So you're not going to let someone come in and take a dump in your lounge room and, like, let them come back, right? You're just going to be like, get out of my house. No,
banned.
You don't get to do that.
You're banned,
you know,
blocked,
yeah.
gone.
You don't have to put up with that, and you get to decide what your space is to a large extent. But what's disappointing is when the reporting and whatnot isn't up to scratch to help us do that in a better way that is more sort of victim-centred and more empathetic.
Well, we have got a little bit more time coming up after this short break for messages, so we're going to talk a bit more about what you're talking about with media, because I wish we had more time, but we don't. So if you want to hear the best few minutes of the show, because they will be the best, guys, just stay tuned, because this is Triple Bypass, and I'm Ruby, and we're on Joy 94.9. We're going to be right back. James has written a bi anthem, and he's going to play it for us live in the studio, guys. We've got live music.
Don't call me a fence sitter just because I'm a switch hitter. Now I'm smashing down your fences. Quit your gender role defenses. Twice the chance of a date, 'cause I can't even think straight. Got no time to live a lie. I'm too busy getting by. Ban me from your gay bars. Hang me from your steeples. I can't help it. I just love people. Girls make me unfold. Guys make my toes curl. 'Cause I'm half gay, half straight, no way, I'm bisexual. I'm bisexual. I'm bisexual.
Hi, this is Sam Smith, and you're listening to Joy 94.9.
That's right. This is Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9, and that lovely little ditty was by our very own James as he played through our Radiothon show.
Can I just mention, I have never heard that recording before.
It was delightful. And if you want to hear the entire show, you can check out the podcast, which is available on iTunes or at joy.org.au/triple bypass. As we did our final wrap-up for Radiothon, we've got to do our final wrap-up now. We've been chatting about the dark corners of the internet, the pros and the cons of the World Wide Web, and how things have been directing. Look, we are going to have to wrap up. Thank you so much for joining us, Lena. It's been such nice. So what was the book that you wrote again?
Game Changers, From Minecraft to Misogyny, The Fight for the Future of Video Games. And that was Lena Van Deventer and Dan Golding.
Fantastic. Well, guys, you can definitely check that one out if you want to hear more details about what we've been talking about now. This is, of course, Triple Bypass, and we'll be back next.
Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.